Lord, Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in heaven, we come before you and we say as David did, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your Torah. May you speak to us, may you change us, Lord, so that we might walk more closely with you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. There was once a man named Yossi who accidentally got too close to the edge of a cliff and fell. Miraculously, he was able to grab hold of a branch, which stopped his fall. But he couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way to climb up the wall of the cliff. So Yossi began yelling for help. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! Time passed. Then he heard a voice. Yossi! Yossi! Can you hear me? Yossi replied, yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. The response came, I can see you, Yossi. Are you all right? Yossi replied, yes, but who are you and where are you? The response came, I am the Lord, Yossi. I am ever present with my people. Yossi said, the Lord? You mean Hashem, the God of Israel? Yes, I have come down to help you, the Lord responded. Yossi replied, God, please help me. I promise, if you'll get me down from here, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. The Lord replied, let's just get you down from there. Then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. Yossi said, I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. The Lord said, okay, let go of the branch, Yossi. Just trust me. Let go. There was a long silence. Finally, Yossi yelled, help! Help! Is anyone else up there? Have any of us ever felt like Yossi? I know that I have. This morning, I would like to talk with you about embracing God's presence. And I have 3 points. Number one, Hashem is with you. Number two, Yeshua has promised his presence. And number three, what can we learn from Thomas? Let's begin with number one, Hashem is with you. In today's Torah portion for the festival of Passover, we have Moses complaining to the Lord that he needs help. He says to Hashem in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. The Lord replied to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, my presence will go with you. Panai yelechu. Let's all say that together in Hebrew. Please repeat after me. Panai yelechu. Together. Panai yelechu. My presence will go with you. Was this promise of God's presence only for the period of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness? Apparently not, since the Lord's presence remained among our people throughout the time of Joshua, throughout the time of the judges, and throughout the time of the kings of Israel. My point is that God's promise of his presence, which is one of the greatest of his presence he has given us, remains true today. It is a promise that is enduring. Panai yelechu, my presence will go with you. Are there times in our lives when we feel all alone? Let us remember his promise. Panai yelechu, my presence will go with you. Do we ever feel outnumbered, intimidated, or afraid? Let us remember his words. Panai yelechu, my presence will go with you. Do we ever feel like we have only this much strength to handle a situation? Let us remember his encouragement. Panai yelechu, my presence will go with you. Hashem is with you, and you, and you. And because he is the God of the three-stranded cord, he does not abandon his close relationship with you when the going gets tough. He is committed to you through thick and thin, rain or snow. That is what being in covenant is all about. And he is a covenant-keeping God. Amen? This brings us to my second point. Yeshua has promised his presence. The other week, I had the pleasure of getting to know Elise Van Camp. Raise your hand, Elise, so everyone knows Elise. Elise Van Camp is a precious part of our community. And when I inquired about how Elise's devotional life is going, because that's something a rabbi should do, how is your devotional life going? She shared with me her daily routine, which she refers to as reading the Bible with Yeshua. The premise behind her daily devotions, which I would encourage all of us to ask her about, is that Yeshua is personally present in our lives. I fully concur with this premise because Yeshua is fully divine and therefore fully omnipresent. In other words, he is everywhere. That is why he could say to his disciples and to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And remember, I am with you sometimes. I am with you occasionally. I am with you on weekends. I am with you in the evenings. I am with you on Shabbat. Always. Anochi etchem kol hayamayim. Kol hayamim. I am with you always, to the end of the age." Let's say that together in English. "And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Let's just say those first two words together. "And remember." One more time. "And remember." One more time. "And remember." Get the point? We're supposed to remember that. Let's say the rest of it. "I am with you always to the end of the age." Yeshua wanted us to remember that. We have to always remember that, even as he is always present with us. Now, in traditional Judaism, there is the concept that when two Jews gather together for Torah study, that the Shekhinah, the manifest presence of God, is among them. There are many jokes about if you get two Jews together, what do you get? But from the rabbi's perspective, when you get two Jews together, what you get is the Shekhinah, the presence of God. Similarly, Yeshua says that when a messianic Jewish Beit Din or court is convened to resolve conflicts and establish halakha, Jewish law, in the community, that the Messiah's presence and authority is among those judges. He says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." The point is that Yeshua has promised his presence to us. He is personally involved in the affairs of our community. And he takes an interest in every, and I say that again, every aspect of our lives. Is there any part of our lives he has no interest in? No. You go to the shower. You put your shampoo on your head. You choose, what shampoo do we use, Harumi? Pantene. You choose Pantene to put it on your head. He cares. You think he doesn't care? Don't put shampoo on your head for a few days. He cares. Put too much shampoo. Pour it all on your head. He cares. He knows every hair of your head and the lack thereof. Saint Patrick, whose yard site the world celebrated a couple of weeks ago, wrote a prayer in the 5th century that captures the essence of this marvelous truth that Yeshua promised his presence to us. I have used the translation Messiah to make it more appropriate in a synagogue context. Let's all say this prayer together. And as we're doing so, let's imagine waving the lulav as we say it together. Messiah, be with me. Messiah, within me. Messiah, behind me. Messiah, before me. Messiah, beside me. Messiah, to win me. Messiah, to comfort and restore me. Messiah, beneath me. Messiah, above me. Raise your hand if you want to say that prayer again. All right, let's do it. One more time. Way to go, St. Patrick, giving us this prayer. Messiah, be with me. Messiah, within me. Messiah, behind me. Messiah, before me. Messiah, beside me. Messiah, to win me. Messiah, to comfort and restore me. Messiah, beneath me. Messiah, above me. If we pray this prayer regularly, it will remind us of the permeating presence of Yeshua in our lives. It will remind us to embrace God's presence. And this brings us to my final point. What can we learn from Thomas? This evening marks the start of Bikurim, the festival of first fruits, according to the Peshat, the plain reading of the Torah. Yeshua died on Passover, and he was resurrected 3 days later on the day of Bikurim, the day after the weekly Shabbat in the middle of Passover week, when an offering of the first fruits of the barley harvest was brought to the temple. Yochanan, John, shares with us in his gospel about one of the disciples, Thomas, who found it very difficult to believe that Yeshua had really been resurrected. We are told in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Yeshua came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Yeshua came and stood among them and said, Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Yeshua told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What can we learn from Thomas, this Bikurim? After his experience with the resurrected Messiah, Thomas brought the good news of Yeshua all the way to India, where he led many people to the knowledge of Yeshua. And when you go to India, you are following in the footsteps of Thomas. Thomas was able to walk out such radical faith because he embraced the presence of God in his life. He reached out his hand and he touched with his hand the resurrected Messiah. We may not be able to see the resurrected Messiah in front of us in the same way that Thomas did. Though sometimes we may be able to. Once I had a dream that was unlike any dream that I've ever dreamed. And I saw Yeshua. And he was bright, his eyes were on fire, and all I could do was fall down on my face before him. And I have never forgotten that dream. It was a dream unlike any dream I've ever dreamed. Perhaps you will one day have an experience like that. Perhaps we'll have numerous experiences like that. But most of us in this life never get the chance to actually touch Yeshua as Thomas did. But we can all reach out our hand and touch the resurrected Messiah in faith. Yeshua, the Son of David, is among us. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? If the answer is yes, then how are we living before him? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for him? Are we living to get something from him, or are we living to give something to him? We must stop doubting and believe. When we do this, our lives will be full of faith and holiness before Hashem. If Yeshua is asking us to let go of a branch we are holding on to and to trust in him, let us not pretend that we haven't heard his voice or call for someone else to rescue us. Like Thomas, let us say, my Lord and my God. Let us all say that together as Thomas did. My Lord and my God. One more time. My God. Let's all close our eyes and let's just imagine Yeshua's presence among us. Remember, he said, and I will always be with you. He is with us. Let us all say together, my Lord and my God. Let us reach out our hands to him as Thomas did. My Lord and my God. One last time. My Lord and my God. That is the life of faith we are called to place our hearts completely in his hands. Let us all say what the angel did on the day of Bikurim as he was sitting on a stone in front of the empty tomb. According to Matthew, the angel said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, we are told, come, Kamin hametim. He has risen. He has risen from the dead. Today, we have talked about embracing God's presence. And I had 3 points. Number one, Hashem is with you. Number two, Yeshua has promised his presence. And number three, what can we learn from Thomas? My Lord and my God. Come, come, min hametim. He has risen. He has risen from the dead. Let's all pray together.